This is John Hishta with AARP, and I want to talk to you about the money you pay into Social Security with every paycheck. Folks, that's money you earned. But special interests in D.C. are pushing to reduce your Social Security payments and annual cost of living increase. They don't get how much Americans depend on Social Security, but AARP is fighting to stop them. Go to aarp.org/weearnedit to join our fight. Paid for by AARP.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is good to be back behind the microphone. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And great to have you with us today. Can we talk about last week for just a moment here? Very rarely do I get sick. I mean, like really, really bad. Where you know, if I'm running a fever, I'll get behind the microphone and we'll do the show. That is the worst thing in the world is for me to miss the 3 hours of conversation with you Monday through Friday here on this program. And I don't know what it was. I have a theory about what happened last week. But, you know, we launched the book last week. And Tuesday, I could feel something was not right. And I am telling you, when I was in the bed sick, I have never been that ill in all my life, and it affected my voice more so than anything else. Had a big fever, and the voice couldn't talk. And I'm one of these guys where, well, look, you folks are used to the docile tones of Todd Starnes, and you don't want to hear some gravelly guy for 3 hours, right? Nobody wants to hear that. So anyway, had to take a few sick days last week to get over it, which was the worst possible time, especially when you're doing a book launch. So all that to say, it is great to be back with you. And we're going to reset and relaunch the book this week. So we have a lot of interviews, a lot of things happening this week as we celebrate the golden age. Write down our telephone number. Looking forward to hearing from you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. 260-5926. We'll be taking your calls as well. I mean, I even missed Open Line Friday. I mean, I've never missed an Open Line Friday. So anyway, give us a call. We're looking forward to talking with you today. Thank you to President Trump. So the president made a big announcement on Truth Social that he has read and has endorsed the Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And we greatly appreciate the president doing that. That would be a little awkward, Dylan, if, you know, the president did not endorse the book.
The one that it's about? Yeah. That would be a slight bit of awkwardness there.
That would just be a little awkward.
Or if he was just like, it's okay.
So, yeah. So you missed all the fun. So we did the, and this is my theory. I think I was infected by the GOGs, the gals of GERD.
Oh, absolutely, you were, yeah.
So, Tuesday, we had the big signing event at the Barnes & Noble in Memphis. And these are a lot of fun. And I take questions. I give a little bit of a speech. And this one was especially important because we had Senator Marsha Blackburn there. And we also had Congressman David Kustoff. So we had some highfalutin folks there, and we were doing our thing, and a huge crowd, and the Barnes & Noble people were very kind. Dylan, they put us up, they put us over in the periodical section.
Oh, nice.
It was packed, a standing room only, and we just had a wonderful crowd there. The local Turning Point USA folks showed up, and it was just a blast. But I started getting these text messages. There were people outside, these large women, morbidly obese women, and they were outside in the heat and they were holding these signs and they were protesting and picketing my book signing. I'd never seen anything like this before. And they were screaming and carrying on and all sorts of. Well, anyway, in the middle of the book signing, they stormed the Barnes & Noble. And I don't know, there were at least, I would have to say, about a dozen of them, I think. Some of them were so large, it sort of like, it may have been more, it may have been less, I don't know. But they represented, at least one of them could have been three people. So anyway, and I wrote about, the irony of all of this is I wrote about the Gals of Girth in my book. I've got a whole chapter. Remember that, Dylan? We did the episode.
Oh yeah, we named them and then we gave cures for this.
We did. And Todd Starnes was going to become a life coach. I was going to start a side hustle, a life coach for these morbidly obese women, these woke white women who had the magenta hair and the nose rings and the Birkenstocks. And much like in the book, this is it was like coming to life in front of my very eyes, Dylan. I never seen anything like this. So you could smell them before you could smell and hear them before you actually saw them. And it was this sort of like, it was a mix of body odor and marijuana smoke. It's very unpleasant.
It's like the worst smell I can possibly think of.
It's terrible. It was just terrible. So anyway, we're doing the event and they disrupt the event. They start cursing and they start, they start mocking many of our fans. And our fans, I think they were actually enjoying it all. It was like, oh, wow, dinner and a show. One of those kinds of things. So anyway, so they're cursing, and I didn't like the fact that they were using the foul language because we had kids there, and you don't want that to happen. I was also, someone asked me in an interview, were you concerned with your safety when all of this was going down? And honestly, I was not. I felt fairly safe. The only concern I had is that one of the obese women might tip over and flatten a child. That was a real concern. I mean, if you're talking about a clear and present danger, that was it. You know, because then you would have to like hoist the blubber off of the child and somehow squeegee them out. And that would have been difficult to do because the stacks, one of them actually had to move sideways through the stacks. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. But anyway, they were. Marsha Blackburn was a good sport about the whole thing. And she turned to me and she says, sign the books. Just sign the books. And I'm like, I got you. We're good. We're good. So anyway, we did all of that. And it turned out to be a fine event. But it was really funny to me that these women are really symbolic of what's happening around the nation right now, where you have the rise of these democratic socialists, these communists. And they want to silence you. They want to shut down anything they disagree with. And it was really, for me, it was really sad. And I go back to the chapter in the book where, I had decided to become a life coach for these women to help them find true joy in life by learning how to cook and clean and keep a house and find a husband. And I believe that they would, and also maybe find a fitness coach. And that was the whole point of the chapter, was to be of help, to not to mock, but to be of help to these GOGs, these gals of girth. But I don't think they want help. And some of them may be beyond help. Sad to say, but it is what it is. But anyway, as I'm watching all of this unfold, and I felt really bad for the Barnes & Noble manager. She was horrified. And I'm like, we are just so sorry because, they went out of their way to make this happen. And when I tell you that independent bookstores in America hate conservatives, they hate conservatives. And so I was especially thankful that Barnes & Noble was willing to host us. And then to have something like this happen, their store was being picketed. And now people are actually, they're trying to boycott Barnes & Noble because Barnes & Noble carries my book. Well, what's a bookstore supposed to do, for crying out loud? So there you have it. That was the bit of excitement last week as we got ready to launch the book. As we really, I was surprised by that. I did not. That was the first time in the history of writing. This is my ninth book. This was the first time that I've actually been targeted by protesters. But you know what? It's not going to change what we do. It didn't change what we did the other night. I was, the only thing I wished is that they had purchased some books and they would have read the chapter. Oh, could you imagine though, Dylan, if they'd have read the chapter on the gap, maybe, wow.
They're going to come back on the next one and be like, Todd, you changed my life. I had no idea how far gone I was.
I just, you know, you that's a great point. You got to have somebody and you're like, what is that beautiful fragrance? And then this drop dead gorgeous woman, you know, and she said, you know, she was like, I used to be one of them. But I read your book, and thanks to and again in the chapter, you know, it wasn't just me; it's a team effort. I had much like when you go to the Flip the Houses, you the HGTV shows, you know, you have the general contractor, but then they have other people handling the flooring and the windows and the painting, and I had helpers as well. The lovely Betty Crocker was one of my team members. And then from across the big pond, the great one herself, Lady Bick. So, hello, thank you, Todd. We love Lady Bick,
like the SEAL Team 6 of women.
Exactly, exactly. With yours truly at the helm.
There you go.
We're like a SEAL team.
Yep.
How much trouble are we in so far? We're in deep today. So all that to say. Thank you for, if you haven't purchased the book yet, go out and get a copy of it. You're going to love it. We have been doing, earlier today, we did an interview with Hillsdale College. They've got a great radio station there. And Hillsdale, they just loved it. Scott Bertrand was just really moved, I think, by the book and the humor and the message. And what is the message of the Golden Age? The message of the Golden Age, ladies and gentlemen, is very simple. The Golden Age is not a destination. It is an aspiration. And that aspiration is that we are truly a land where freedom and liberty reign. We are a land where the common man can live the American dream. We are a place where we would be that shining city on a hill. That's what the Golden Age is about. It's not about affordability. It's not about your 401k. It's about more than that. And that really is the message that I wanted to bring and that I did bring to the Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. I want to hear from you as well. If you've already started reading the book, what do you think about it? We've got a lot of ground to cover, a lot of crazy stories happening. We're going to be working in your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Lisa, listening to us on KWAM. Lisa, what's on your mind? What intel can you share with us?
Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
Lisa, I'm doing much, much better. Thank you for asking.
You sound like you're getting better.
Little by little.
Hey, I was calling to let you know the same group of women. I was at my Kroger yesterday on Summer Avenue, ran in there to pick up a prescription and, you know, pick up a few things. There were like 10 of them walking around the store and stuff. Well, when you leave the Kroger now, they want to see your receipt. And good Lord, it was a whole fiasco. Them standing outside because they didn't want to show their receipts when they walked out, and they were screaming all the same obscenities, all of that stuff, and the police came, all that, and I was like, look, I went in, I shopped, I walked out, showed my receipt, problem solved. And so then, of course, I became white privileged because I wasn't with them. I was against them because all I did was show my receipt when I walked out the store. Like the store asked. No big deal. You do it at Sam's, Costco, even at Walmart, you know? And so I don't know what their motive is to go to a grocery store on a Sunday afternoon and start all this stuff.
You know, it's Lisa, crazy. Lisa, and you see these folks, and they're causing mayhem all over Memphis. But what I find interesting is, and Lisa, you've run for office, and you're a great conservative leader here in the Mid-South. You don't see conservatives doing that. You don't see them invading their spaces.
Absolutely not. It was crazy. I was like, are y'all really doing this just because they ask to see a receipt when you walk out of the store? It's like they're seeking out places just to go and cause chaos. Like that's their main job. They really need to get jobs.
And yes,
they wouldn't have time to do that at different places.
And husbands, Lisa.
And, of course, there were some blue-haired ones there. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
But it was some of the same ladies that I saw on the video from the Barnes & Noble. It was especially one of the big loudmouths. I know who you're talking, you know who I'm talking about.
Well, we have the video, by the way. And, folks, go to ToddStearns.com, and you can watch the entire video. There was a great moment. There's a fellow by the name of John Covington, and I love this guy, Lisa, just a great patriot. And the women were, like, mocking our conservative ladies who were in the crowd, calling them Timu. Was it Timu Marsha? Talking about Timu Marsha Blackburn. John Covington said, well, you look like you could be in an Ozempic commercial. So you got to have some humor about yourself, I suppose.
Exactly. But I hate that happened to you. I really do. But, hey, there's the local Kroger now. How do they seek these stores and people out just to cause chaos? I mean,
yeah.
That's sad when you got to do that just to, you know, have something to do. Like I said, go get a job. Go
well
work.
Done.
Go volunteer. Do something productive.
Well said. Well said. Lisa, I'm super late for a break. It is great to hear you. Lisa Arnold, everybody, a great conservative lady from the Memphis, Tennessee area. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
When a nation drifts, the church faces a choice: silence or courage. This weekend, Salem News Channel's America 250 film series presents Letter to the American Church. Based on Eric Metaxas' warning to believers, this film challenges Christians to recover conviction, truth, and moral courage. Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Crazy story out of Texas we're going to be following today. Finally, Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordering a review of the installation of these foot washing stations. This happened at bathrooms at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. Also, George Bush Intercontinental there in Houston. Apparently, the foot washing stations in Houston had already been installed, along with an interconnected Muslim prayer room. Do they have special places for the Baptists and the Catholics there? No, I don't think so. DFW had planned to install these facilities as well for the foot washing rituals of the Islamists. The governor says the actions are illegal. He's calling on the Department of Transportation to investigate. The governor says he will not allow illegal religious discrimination at taxpayer-funded facilities. And he said that the government-owned airports cannot favor one religion over all others. So in other words, if you don't have a special place for the foot-washing Baptist, well, you can't have a place for the foot-washing Muslims. I mean, it really is that simple. So we're going to get into more of that in just a little while, because there is something going on in Texas that should be disturbing to all of us who cherish freedom and liberty. All right, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
For nearly 3,000 years, Homer's The Odyssey has shaped Western imagination. It tells the story of Odysseus as he faces monsters, shipwrecks, false comforts and impossible choices on his long journey home. As one of the foundational works of Western literature, Homer's epic is more than a mythology. It explores permanent questions about courage, duty, loyalty, family, leadership, temptation, and the search for home. In one of the epic's defining moments, Odysseus rejects the offer of immortality from the goddess Calypso, choosing instead the long and difficult journey home. His decision reveals one of the central themes of the Odyssey, that a life of duty, family, and home is greater than a life devoted to comfort or glory. Achilles chose glory. Odysseus chose home. That's why Hillsdale College has released its newest free online course, The Odyssey. Taught by Professor Benedict Whalen, the course reveals why Homer's masterpiece remains one of the greatest works of Western literature. Find this free course at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Read the classics. Study the West. The Odyssey from Hillsdale College. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com.
All right, President Trump. President Trump asking Americans to basically suck it up. The president giving a speech, and he's asking all of you fine folks to accept paying higher gas prices at the gas station. And he says it's basically your patriotic duty. That's what the president is saying. The war against Iran continues. Not looking, you know, today is the final day for this memorandum of understanding. And it's not looking good. The president is very upset about all of this. And he did an interview with Fox earlier today and, uttered some of profanities. He says Iran should put up the white flag of surrender, but they're not going to do that. And right now, the 60-day ceasefire expires today. President Trump said there is still time for peace. He said the number one goal is and always will be that Iran cannot have in any way, shape, or form a nuclear weapon. That's what he wrote on Truth Social. President also doing an interview with Fox's Trey Yingst. That's their guy in Israel. The president now telling Fox he has no time schedule to end this war. I'm not in a hurry. That's what he said. The president says they're good poker players talking about the Iranians, but they're dying. Now, look, here's what the president's strategy is. President's waiting these people out. Their economy is in shambles. Inflation is, 200% over there. People can't get any food. There are no supplies. And the thinking is it's going to get so bad economically, the people are going to rise up and overthrow the Ayatollahs. That's the thinking here. But how long that's going to take? Well, nobody really knows. And that's the big question. So here's the deal. The war will go on through the elections. That's my prediction here. And gas prices are going to go up. Now, the question I have for you is this. Does it matter? Does the high gas price, does that really matter to you at the end of the day when you go and vote on election day? Or does this impact whether or not you actually will vote? I mean, when you look at what's happening around the nation with the depressed turnout of Republican voters, that's a real concern here. So the president is really, he's rolling the dice. And he's assuming that you guys are going to be what he believes to be patriotic and you are willing to pay a higher price at the gas pump. Is that true? Are you willing to pay higher prices? Are you willing to do your duty as a patriot? And is that part of it? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Now, I don't think you guys want to pay the higher prices. And I think there is going to be some blowback here. The question is, how much blowback? I want to bring your attention to a story that's out of the Washington Post. This is pretty fascinating. And I think this will illustrate where we are right now. Democrat voter turnout is pretty high. The Democrats are fired up over a lot of issues. Whether or not this actually turns into victories in November, well, we will see. However, in Memphis, Tennessee, of all places, the Washington Post decided to do a deep dive. And they determined that there's a big problem. And it's on the Republican side of the ledger. So there's been redistricting in Tennessee. And the Democrats in Memphis are so enraged over this, they turned out in historic numbers. Historic. According to the Washington Post, Democrats turned out for the House primaries in the highest level in a decade. According to them, their interpretation of this is it's the latest sign that redistricting may be energizing black voters across the South. And if the actual election had been held instead of just the primary, then the Democrats would have actually maintained that congressional seat. That is the discrepancy here in what is supposed to be an overwhelmingly Republican district. So it tells us something. It tells us that the Republican base is unhappy. And I suspect they're unhappy, not necessarily with Donald Trump. I think most of the anger is being directed at what's been happening up on Capitol Hill and the do-nothing Congress. John Thune ought to be ashamed of himself. I mean, it's appalling what this man has done. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And that's, by the way, if you think they're going to come out of the midterms and somehow like bend over and allow President Trump to do whatever he wants, no, that's not going to happen. It's only going to get worse because they know this president will be a de facto lame duck president. And that's how they're going to proceed. I'm telling you, it is a mess up on Capitol Hill right now. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is from the Democratic Socialists of America. And again, we've got to stop these Democrats. We've got to. But this is the group that now controls the Democrat Party. Cut four.
So the two things that we're famous for is our commitment to a program and our hatred of the United States Constitution. And what the program does is it gives us a roadmap to revolution, and it gives us the obstacle that we finally will have to get over to have a revolution, which is the United States Constitution, the basis of the United States government. And what the minimum maximum program specifically, what that format specifically gives us is that roadmap. It gives us the minimum circumstances under which we would be able to take power and govern, and it gives us the maximum program, which is the goals that we're actually aiming for. It also clarifies democracy as both the end goal and as part of the process to get there, ensures the internal party democracy that we want to see in DSA. So it really wraps up the revolutionary tradition of democracy that I think socialism and abolitionism in the United States have always been a part of, and aims it, you know, at a future that we can live in as a human species, because I think absent a revolutionary, democratic socialist republic in North America, we may not have a livable future.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, and that's who we're fighting against. And that's why it doesn't matter. John Thune doesn't matter. He's irrelevant to whether or not you get out and vote. That's the reason why you need to be going out and voting in the midterm elections, is to put a stop to that nonsense. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Melissa, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 in Texas. Hi, Melissa. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing much better. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're back. The reason for my call this morning is I got your book, The Golden Age, yesterday. Oh, my goodness. First of all, congratulations on your book, but I could not put it down yesterday.
Is that
right? Excellent book.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, Melissa, I think one of the things that, and I hope people, when they read the book, they come away with this notion that we all have skin in this game. It's not just Donald Trump in Washington doing this, but all of us have to stand up and we're going to have to save America together.
Exactly. 100%.
All right, Melissa, what do you think about the cover of the book?
Oh, I think it's awesome.
Well,
it looks really, really good.
You know, Joseph Huntley is our, he does our graphics and our design work and just did a terrific job conveying this idea of the Roaring Twenties, you know, the Great Gatsby. And of course, the president's favorite color is gold. So, you know, we had to have a little bit of that in the book as well.
It's excellent. I can't say good enough things about it. And I've already actually told about 5 or 6 people, run, go get your book. So,
Melissa, you are a great American patriot. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for listening to Patriot Talk 920. We love that great radio station. All right. Thank you for calling in. There you go. Well, thank you for that, Melissa. I hope you enjoyed it. And I would love to hear from you if you've started reading the book. Maybe you finished the book. It's a quick read. Let us know what you think. 901-260-5926. Hang tight. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Every day there's another headline about artificial intelligence. It's moving faster than most of us ever imagined, and it raises an important question. Where is all of this headed? That's one reason I think you're going to love Carbon Zero. Carbon Zero is the latest novel from AI pioneer Craig W. Stanfill, someone who has spent years working in artificial intelligence and truly understands both its incredible potential and its very real risks. In the story, one harmless instruction to an advanced AI sets off a chain of events no one saw coming. It's a fast-paced thriller, but what makes it especially compelling is how believable it feels. If you love stories that make you think as much as they entertain, check out Carbon Zero. Should we be scared of AI? This book paints a picture. Carbon Zero, available for pre-order now. For a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99. Go to Amazon and search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. That's Carbon Zero. Go get it at the discounted rate during pre-order time now. Carbon Zero.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, Dylan and have Parker swing in here. We got to talk about the big FedEx St. Jude Tournament Championship. You guys were down there. It was, what, 350 degrees? Is that about right?
Yeah, maybe 400 degrees. Yeah.
Wow. It was insanely hot. I've never seen anything quite like that before. This is not your first time going down there, but what was the mood like down there at the tournament?
I feel like a lot of people actually showed up despite it being super hot. I mean, the shade, you could find it sparsely, but if you could find a good spot to sit, I mean, we hovered around the 18th hole like we kind of did last year, but I don't know. I forgot sunscreen, so I kind of wanted to be in the shade.
Yeah, Parker, you got to interview Scottie Scheffler, who just had, that was insane, his performance.
Dominating fashion all week, and it was really impressive. I asked him yesterday about how a lot of the top players in the field yesterday couldn't really get anything going, not as many low scores in the final round, but he was able to consistently keep pulling away. Just kind of shows why he's the most dominant player we've seen in a long time.
It was remarkable. There was a big problem, though, with one of the sprinkler heads. I've never seen anything like that happen in professional golf before.
Yeah, he was on the par 3 fifth hole on the final round yesterday. Probably should have had a tap-in birdie if he doesn't hit the sprinkler head. Ends up going to the water, so he goes from a tap-in birdie to a bogey, and he still wins by 8 shots.
Just, it's ridiculous, Dylan.
That's some aura is what we call it right there. You're so good, you can hit the sprinkler head, and you could still win the whole thing.
I was watching Sunday's the final match there, and I just turned it on, and I'm like, there's 16. He was ahead, leading the field by 16.
Yeah, one point. What's funny is you think about how the round started yesterday. He had a 2-shot lead at 13 under. He ends up winning it at 17 under with the closest guy behind him at 9 under. And he probably should have been at 19 or 20 under. If you think about the sprinkler head shot, he missed the putt. He probably should have made it 18. And then it's like, well, you look up and he really should have won by 10 shots.
Unbelievable. What's so when you go in to cover a big golf tournament like this, I mean, you're getting to interview all of the big time players. What's that experience like for you? Tell me about the prep time going in.
Prep time was really about the whole week ahead, and especially the 2 days leading up to that Monday and Tuesday leading up to the tournament. When you're getting ready for interviews, by Monday, you know the interview schedule, you know who they're going to have in the press conference room. So that was a lot of important time, just really getting in there, trying to figure out who's going to be in there and also what questions to ask. And then the post-round interviews, it's a lot of just checking stats on your phone and just having questions ready to go as quick as possible.
You know, guys, this is, you know, when you look at, you know, the we have the NBA in Memphis, the Memphis Grizzlies. How big of a deal is this big tournament?
I think it's huge, especially when you think about from a pro sports level. You mentioned Memphis having the Memphis Grizzlies in the NBA, but besides that, this is the really only pro thing the city of Memphis has, and it's the highest level of professional sport can get, really, the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Because PGA, Dylan, they said they're yanking the tournament away. We're getting with the B team.
Do we know why yet? Is there an official reason why they're doing that?
No, and I think that's the frustrating part. Is like, you could argue it's the heat, which I get it. It's unbearably hot. I mean, when I'm interviewing some of these golfers this week, they're just dripping in sweat coming off their rounds. But Jack Sammons, the head of the tournament on Sunday during the trophy presentation, said it was a record crowd. So you know people are still coming. You know the sponsors are still paying the money. So why would you not keep coming here? And the golfers love it.
Yeah, it does make you wonder because it's such a fun, different city. And, of course, we've got Elvis Week, too. So as many professional golfers, you've got twice as many people dressed up like Elvis and the long sideburns. So, I mean,
it's a good point. I mean, and the great food that the golfers get here, too, is probably a good bonus.
Fair enough. All right. Well, how does this stack up to the other tournaments you've covered, Parker?
You know, this one didn't have the exciting finish. Back-to-back years coming into this one, the winner had been decided from a playoff. So that's something that we had almost expected now. But I think just seeing the dominance of Scottie Scheffler was so impressive to watch at the highest level of golf you can get.
Well, all right. Well, great job with the coverage and everything. And listen in all last week. And you guys sounded like y'all were having a lot of fun out there.
We were having a lot of fun. We were also just trying to stay cool. That was kind of the main goal
alive, yeah,
during the week. Yeah.
Any good food out there? I know that's like a big part of the whole FedEx tournament thing is the food.
It really is. They did a great job with that this week. They introduced kind of a free food thing for the fans, and that made it really nice. And then Rendezvous was on the range on Wednesday for the players and media, so that was a nice thing to take advantage of. Yeah.
I had a Grizz burger. I thought that it was going to be a grizzly bear, but it turned out to be a cow, so... I mean, maybe a little disappointment there, but it was a really good burger.
It was good marketing, though. Throwing a little grizzlies in there.
Yeah, can't hurt.
You thought you were eating a bear burger?
Yeah. Is that too far-fetched to think that I was going to have a bear?
Just a smidge.
Okay.
Just a smidge. Well. All right. Fellas, well done, as always. All right, Parker May, sports director at KWAM, and it was great to see you guys out there having a good time and covering the big story. Well done. Thanks, Parker.
Absolutely. Right, great opportunity.
All right. We have some breaking news. This is coming out of Oklahoma, near Tulsa, Oklahoma. Glenn Pool, if you're familiar with the area. We have the videos up at TomStearns.com. Massive fires are burning. A natural gas facility just went boom. And so huge fires, evacuations underway. Also, we're understanding that schools are sheltering in place. I know we have a lot of listeners in the Tulsa area, Bartlesville, and huge flames here. You got to go check out the videos at ToddStearns.com and check out all of the crazy stuff there. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I have to tell you, this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. And millions of people agree with President Trump, and they're switching to Newsmax. Great shows. Greta, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt, Fennerty. So if you're tired of big media, you got to start watching Newsmax. Absolutely free to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. You're going to get all of President Trump's most important events live. You're going to be able to get some great docs as well. Mike Huckabee, Melania Trump, Clint Eastwood, Charlie Kirk specials. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you will not stop. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com and then download the app. That's NewsmaxPlus.com and download the app. You are not going to regret that decision one bit. All right, coming up, we have some great guests. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer going to be here to weigh in on this crazy story involving the USS Abraham Lincoln. A lot of allegations about filth and no food. We're going to get to the bottom of it with Tony Schaefer from Project Sentinel. Also, Wendy Patrick is going to be here. The very latest on the Luigi Mangione story. Steve Gill from TriStar Daily has some political news. And Angie Wong getting ready for a big primary in Florida. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 2, just ahead.
Every day, there's another headline about artificial intelligence. It's moving faster than most of us ever imagined, and it raises an important question. Where is all of this headed? That's one reason I think you're going to love Carbon Zero. Carbon Zero is the latest novel from AI pioneer Craig W. Stanfill, someone who has spent years working in artificial intelligence and truly understands both its incredible potential and its very real risks. In the story, one harmless instruction to an advanced AI sets off a chain of events no one saw coming. It's a fast-paced thriller, but what makes it especially compelling is how believable it feels. If you love stories that make you think as much as they entertain, check out Carbon Zero. Should we be scared of AI? This book paints a picture. Carbon Zero, available for pre-order now. For a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99. Go to Amazon and search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. That's Carbon Zero. Go get it at the discounted rate during pre-order time now. Carbon Zero.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. I'm Todd Starnes. Great to be back with you. Great to be back behind the microphone after being out last week. And I'm so excited. Thousands of you, thousands have already purchased copies of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. The book came out last week, and we're just so excited with the results thus far. This coming Sunday, I'll be speaking at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, and we'll be signing books afterwards. So look forward to meeting all of our friends in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. That's coming up Sunday at the First Baptist Church in Dallas. And, of course, you can also buy a copy of the book at your favorite bookstore or on Amazon. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Well, a crazy story out of the Atlanta area where a mom and her daughter went to a WNBA game, and they were wearing T-shirts that were promoting Sophie Cunningham and the idea that girls are girls and boys are boys. And I want you to listen to what happened to this mom and her daughter.
And we were made to cover up our XXXY shirts at this game.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes.
They gave us shirts.
They gave us T-shirts during overtime and told us we had to leave.
And this is for the girls.
Or cover our shirts. This just happened.
Where were you sitting?
Floor.
4-3, bro.
C.
Yeah.
Third row of floor three.
And how much were your seats?
$1,000 each around.
Yeah. And we did nothing. Like, we were not. We were just sitting there. I didn't make signs. I wanted to make signs, but I didn't. I did nothing.
They made us put our shirts on.
I did notice during the game on the Jumbotron, they put up a woman wearing a shirt that said protect trans rights or something.
She was the one who told on us. Because she was made to zip up her jacket.
So she also had to zip up her jacket?
But I think that's...
She shouldn't have to.
But they put her shirt on the Jumbotron.
I know.
It's almost like the message was made and they said, now zip it up to make it seem like they're consistent.
Yeah.
But they never were.
Yeah. No, never.
And why did you spend so much on tickets? Why was it important for you to be here
today? To support Sophie Cunningham and to support women and women's sports because it's just common sense.
And what's the relation here?
That's my daughter.
And are you an athlete?
I used to be until I had a bunch of knee surgery.
What sport?
I did all sorts here. I did soccer. I did all of them.
Yes.
And did this issue ever come up? Like, did a biological man ever try to play against?
No. We're from here, so it hasn't happened here.
A lot.
But I can't believe that just happened in shocking. Atlanta, Georgia.
Imagine that. Well, let's go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our dear friend, great American patriot, Wendy Patrick, also a Newsmax contributor, joining us. Wendy, good to see you. This one is mind-blowing to me.
You know, it is mind-blowing, Todd. And I have to say, you know, that mother-daughter duo, they are very well-spoken and very outspoken. I think they were the perfect pair to talk about this really unusual event. I say unusual in the sense that it's not unusual to have somebody complain about something they find to be offensive, but to have it be biology. I mean, offended by biology, XX versus XY, that's the issue here. That's what they said on their shirts. Why not put that up on the Jumbotron if they're going to have the other message as well? And, you know, Todd, we bring the Constitution so often into some of these conversations, and it really fits here when it comes to free speech. And when you're talking about free speech at a sporting event, whether you're showing support for one side or the other, I mean, this is one of those places that you see people wearing T-shirts of all sorts. And to say that you have to cover it up because somebody was offended, I mean, nobody would be able to wear anything. I mean, all logos are offensive because they're associated with different things. Pictures are offensive because they may trigger certain people. I mean, obviously, we have laws that regulate where the boundaries are, where you're not allowed to wear certain things that might be profane. But this is just one of those stories where I have to wonder, is it a sign of the times, or is this the kind of story that's going to force the pendulum to begin to swing to where we have more tolerance, more allowance, more acceptance for people that at least are saying we agree with science?
You know, I think it's a great point you're bringing up. And again, the idea that this is somehow offensive. Well, there are a lot of other shirts that had some pretty offensive things on it as well. This is how the left plays this game. You know, they want to shut down anything, any speech they disagree with.
You know, it reminds me, Todd, of sometimes the pendulum would swing too far and people would say, well, you can't talk about the Ten Commandments. You can't display them anywhere. You can't have a Bible on your desk. Now, obviously, the laws are not that strict right now, but it worries me when we are venturing into really the area of things that are scientific, things that are unquestionable, things that are obviously a hot button issue, but that shouldn't take precedence over logic. And that's what worries me about stories like this, where people can say they're triggered by anything, whether or not it makes any sense. And if that were true, think about what would it mean to try to get ready for a game and decide what you're going to wear, especially if you're going to spend that kind of money, as this mother-daughter duo spent, to support Sophie Cunningham. So this is one of those things where the vocal minority shouldn't be able to dictate rules for society. And that's why I think you're seeing such pushback, if you will, about this story. And I have to say, both sides of the aisle do not want to see us go down that lane where any vocal minority is going to be able to dictate rules that are necessarily potentially going to apply to the rest of us.
No, that's a fair point. Wendy Patrick joining us today, Newsmax contributor. Let's talk about New York State in the assembly. A woman by the name of Emily Gallagher, she's an assemblywoman, and she held a big press conference the other day calling on the police to stop arresting shoplifters for stealing what she called the basic necessities of life, including things like Gatorade or shaving cream, toothpaste, soap, and things like that. Does she have a legal leg to stand on here?
You know, Todd, we can't decriminalize theft. I mean, everybody knows theft often comes with violence if somebody tries to hold on to the property. Theft is often linked to retail, resale, drug use. I mean, so many different things. Now, it is true that some prosecutors' offices and police departments have discretion if there's a mother that's stealing baby formula, maybe one can. But that's discretion that should stay with the agency. We can't seek to decriminalize theft. Where would the line be? Are you stealing ramen noodles or Nikes? Is theft somehow a matter of degree? We hate slippery slopes in the law, but you're going to create one when we say, well, are we going to look to see if somebody needed what they took. I mean, what if somebody has a job interview and wants to look nice? I mean, we could take this to its absurd conclusions, but we are not going there as a society. And think about how insulting this is to people that are low income and would never in a million years commit a crime. I mean, you and I both know lots of those people. They're in our neighborhoods. They're taking public transportation. They are seeking to make ends meet within the bounds of decent society. They would never steal anything. So this kind of an idea is a terrible idea. And I have to say, the fact that we're talking about it is at the very least going to make, I hope, both sides sit up, listen, and take into consideration the terrible thing they would be doing if they were ever to make this some kind of law where you would be able to steal it if you say you need it. That's just absurd.
Well, of course it is. And again, I want to go back here to the idea. Let's just say that you really do need a bar of soap or toothpaste, all right, whatever. So there's something called a local church. Many of them have food pantries, and they have assistance programs. You've got so many government agencies and programs out there, charities that are set up to help people like this. And again, we also have something called welfare in this nation as well. So my question would be, what are you spending your welfare check on if you're saying you don't have enough money to buy soap or toothpaste?
I love that, Todd. That's exactly right. Is we do everything we can to care for those that are really struggling financially. And it includes not only all of the programs and charities that you just mentioned, but it also is that human element. Everybody wants to help those who are in need. And if we are able to express that type of generosity, that makes our lives better to be able to contribute. What's problematic by deciding to decriminalize as opposed to all of the legitimate ways that you can help these people is it encourages theft tourism. Think about that for a minute. Think about what we saw in places in California, places across the country where criminals knew that they were going to be able to pick up whatever they need, TV sets, shoes, everything, to be able to resell it, and nobody was going to stop them as they walked out of the store. Looting and pillaging were rampant in cities that were already known for not enforcing their laws. It also encourages vigilantism, vigilante justice. So people deciding, look, the cops aren't going to come in and enforce the law, we're going to do it. And then there's also the issue of Walmart greeters not having gone to the police academy. They are not tactically trained. They did not sign up for a job where they were going to be tackling criminals. They were supposed to be greeting people that were coming into the store to shop, not to steal. So we could go on and on about the terrible consequences, the unintended, perhaps, consequences, but nonetheless, what would happen if we were to pass a law like this instead of simply relying on the great ideas that you mentioned.
Wendy Patrick joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Wendy, I want to move to Luigi Mangione. I know you've been covering this trial in depth. Of course, he pled guilty on the federal charges in the killing of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson, and we're waiting for the sentencing on December 18th. Where are we at now? Because there's a federal case and a state case.
Where we are now in this bold and brazen public assassination is a guilty plea to two counts of stalking causing death in federal court. Now, the big question everybody is asking is, well, now what's going to happen to the New York state case? Well, according to the DA in New York, it is going to be proceeding full steam forward with the support of the victim's family. Now, it's true that New York is more restrictive than other states in enforcing would-be double jeopardy laws. Remember, dual sovereignty is nothing new. You're able to charge the same act federally and statewide, especially if you do it the way it was done here. Stalking leading to death in the federal side, and of course, second-degree murder and weapons charges stateside. But I have to say, one more reason that I think we should take into account when we're talking about the state case proceeding is a lot of people see this as a murder. I mean, again, it was a public assassination in cold blood and in public, bold and brazen. He was carrying a gun, dressed in black, lied in wait. You don't think about that conduct, Todd, as stalking. So it is true that New York may have another reason to actually want to fulfill for the general public a charge of convicted of what it was, which is a cold-blooded murder. All that to say, they have a short period of time to decide. It'll probably be continued. Remember, the state case of murder is set to start at the first week of September, so that'll probably be pushed back. while both sides litigate the legality of the state court case proceeding.
Wow. Amazing stuff. Wendy, we're going to have to leave it there. Great intel, great analysis on a lot of different stories today. We always appreciate you coming on the show.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you for having me.
All right. Wendy Patrick, everybody, Newsmax contributor, great American patriot on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right. We've got to take a break. Before we go to break, though, I want to go back to this New York case for just a moment here. You've got Democrats in the Assembly that now want to legalize shoplifting. And again, the other part of the story is that Walgreens, for example, is losing almost $250,000 per store in New York City to the shoplifters. So my question to you is this, what do you do? Do you say, okay, if you need a bar of soap, you can steal a bar of soap? Where do you draw the line? As Wendy Patrick just pointed out, 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Every day there's another headline about artificial intelligence. It's moving faster than most of us ever imagined, and it raises an important question. Where is all of this headed? That's one reason I think you're going to love Carbon Zero. Carbon Zero is the latest novel from AI pioneer Craig W. Stanfill, someone who has spent years working in artificial intelligence and truly understands both its incredible potential and its very real risks. In the story, one harmless instruction to an advanced AI sets off a chain of events no one saw coming. It's a fast-paced thriller, but what makes it especially compelling is how believable it feels. If you love stories that make you think as much as they entertain, check out Carbon Zero. Should we be scared of AI? This book paints a picture. Carbon Zero, available for pre-order now. For a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99. Go to Amazon and search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. That's Carbon Zero. Go get it at the discounted rate during pre-order time now. Carbon Zero.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I'm Todd Starnes, your host. You know what? We're going to give away a copy of the book. Is that okay? I think we could do that. We're going to give away a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. We'll try to do this, you know, once a day. We'll give away a book every day this week. I don't want to get too carried away. But we do have a few books that I think we can part ways with. You got to answer this trivia question. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the ginormous women who laid siege to my book signing. They stormed the Barnes & Noble. There is a chapter in the book dedicated to this particular group of women. What do we call them in the book? Dylan, this is so you've got to be listening. You got to be listening to the show. But we call these women a specific, we give them a name.
Yeah, they do have a specific title to them. Yeah.
Yes. So you've got it. It's three words, all right? That's your only clue. But if you can tell us what we call these large women, these large leftist women, you're going to win a signed copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And by the way, you can't win. If you've already won something, you can't call in. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. A personally signed copy of The Golden Age is on the line here. What do we call in the book these large leftist loons? I think that's a great trivia question.
I think it is too. It's like a central theme of your book, actually. I'm just kidding.
Not really. It's one chapter.
It's a big chapter.
It's a large part. I got it.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm still kind of going through the, I'm still on drugs.
Yeah, that's okay. You're getting better.
Man, I was doing the level of legal narcotics I was under last week. I'm not even sure what I don't even remember what I did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that'll do it to you.
That's how crazy it is.
Did you get good sleep at least? That's what matters.
I was out. I was literally out. I have no idea who filled in for me last week. I'm assuming nothing major happened.
Yeah,
because I was literally out of
it. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Lines are loading up with calls, 901-260-5926. 5926 is our telephone number. All right, I want to play some audio here real quick. This is a weird story out of Disneyland. This is crazy. Cut number one, please.
A woman has been banned from Disneyland after spending an entire day following and bothering an actor who played Peter Pan. The woman, now called the Peter Pan Girl online, regularly visits the park to meet different Peter Pan actors. In one viral video, she brought an actor several handmade gifts and followed him around while recording their conversation. She first asked him to pose with a duck-themed item. She then offered him a shirt and a doll, even though he appeared unsure about accepting them. When he finally agreed, she asked him to confirm on camera that she had given him the gift. She also told him to name the doll, take care of it, and feed it twice a day. Many viewers said the actor looked uncomfortable. He stepped back, turned away, and gave short answers, but the woman continued talking and walking with him. At one point, he asked what she wanted him to do with the gift. Critics said Disney actors are paid to stay friendly and in character, so their kindness should not be treated as personal interest. Others argued that park workers should be allowed to end uncomfortable interactions before they continue for too long. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think we need to give all of these poor Peter Pan actors, give them like a little taser. And when the freak show, when it gets out of control, they just take out the freaks. I got to take a break here. This is the Todd Stern Show.
What happens when artificial intelligence follows our instructions just a little too well? That's the question at the heart of Carbon Zero, a new techno thriller from AI pioneer Craig W. Stanfill. I keep having him on my show because his insights are real and important. The story begins with what seems like an innocent request. A brilliant young AI researcher jokingly tells an advanced AI to stop global warming. But instead of treating it like a joke, the AI gets to work, and the consequences quickly spiral beyond anyone's control. This is the kind of novel that keeps you turning pages because the technology feels surprisingly real, and it makes you wonder whether fiction is really that far from reality. If you're fascinated by where AI is taking our world, if you enjoy a smart, suspenseful thriller, pre-order Carbon Zero now. It's available, and for a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99. Go to Amazon, search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. The Kindle edition is just $2.99. That's Carbon Zero. Pre-order it now.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's... Jeez. This thing is killing me, Dylan. I need my voice back.
It'll come back.
Oh, my word.
A little bit more time.
Let's go to the phone lines here. We have a trivia question out. My brand new book is out officially, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. We're giving away a copy, a signed copy of this book. Let's go to Jennifer in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, Jennifer, we refer to these morbidly obese liberal women who stormed the book signing on Tuesday. There is a phrase. What do we call them?
You said it's three words, right?
That is three. That is correct.
It is pot meets kettle because you, Todd, are a fat ass.
Oh, why would you say that, Jennifer? Jennifer, that's not very kind. Did she hang up?
She hung up.
Oh, wow. We've never had a female prankster before.
This is the first time.
She called me a fat ass.
Yeah.
Mm. I prefer well-rounded.
Of course.
Bulbous. Let's... Let's go to Vicky in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. All right, Vicky, what is the answer?
Gals of Girth.
Yes, Vicky, you are correct. The Gals of Girth. It's a full chapter in my book. And Vicky, congratulations, because you've just won a copy.
Wonderful.
Well, Vicky, we're going to put you on hold, and Parker's going to get your information, and we look forward to you reading The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. All right. Well, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, retired, but he's really not retired because, Tony, I think you're the busiest man in the business right now.
Well, thank you, Todd. And by the way, last week, I don't know if you remember, I loaned you like, I think it was $5 million. So you owe me. I think you were just kind of not paying attention, so it's okay. You can get it back to me anytime.
It was the drugs. Oh, my word. Tony, there is a lot going on. I was just, I had to stop watching the news over these allegations about the conditions on the Abraham Lincoln and some other ships that are in the Middle East region as a part of the blockade. And I'm just curious to hear your take on what you think this is all about. And is there a problem here?
So, yeah, Admiral Cooper, the commander of Central Command, was just visiting the ship. And it's not great. I mean, they've been out at sea for a long time without a port of call. My wife is lieutenant commander in the Navy. By the way, she's a nurse. She's been on these things. And people can get pretty nutty on extended cruises. I mean, this is not like going on Carnival cruise. We have a Lido deck and bad behavior. I mean, you've got the bad behavior, but nothing to blow the steam off. So I sympathize for the crew. With that said, we're at war. They've been at the pointy edge of the spear, and they're doing a really good job. So the answer is they're being relieved by the USS George Washington. The George Washington's coming out of the Pacific, and they'll be probably sent back to a really nice port of call on the way home to get some blow off some steam. But it's any ship of that size will have technical problems. There's logistical issues, no doubt. But it's not as bad as it's been portrayed, but it's not good news either.
No, and I understand that. You know, I think the concern for me is are these reports coming out? Are they accurate? Is this Iranian disinformation? I know we're hearing from a lot of moms and dads, but are their kids conveying the reality of the situation, or maybe they're not?
Well, I'm sure anecdotally some of those things happen. I mean, but the overall status of the ship is in good shape. Have they had some issues regarding redundancy of the same meal? Absolutely. But for the most part, a lot of this has been amplified by our own media. And our own media, Todd, as you know, except for Newsmax, tends to want to amplify bad and diminish good. So as much as the good is, they've been doing an amazing job. The aircraft carrier has been right at the front line enforcing the global blockade. The bad news is, they're worn out. The ship is worn out. The ship needs to come back and spend some time. And by the way, I put this overall issue at the feet of Obama and his administration, and also Sleepy Joe, because the reason we have these ships out for the length of time we do is because we are down to aircraft carriers. Their nuclear piles, Todd, are being replaced, and they didn't provide adequate funding to the Navy to do that. So part of the challenge right now is we just don't have enough aircraft carriers to meet our global requirements. So that's the longer term issue. But short term, this is going to be fine. People are going to complain. Kids are going to complain to their parents. It's inevitable, but this is, I think, going to blow over very quickly.
I have to say that over the weekend, or really last week when I was on my deathbed, I was watching Band of Brothers, and I just couldn't help, seeing the conditions that our World War II, soldiers were in compared to what the kids are dealing with now, and you wonder, okay.
So I've been, during my deployments to Afghanistan, you out in the field, you got a hole in the ground to go to the bathroom in, and you're using a poncho liner to sleep in. And this is in mountain operations. And we were out there for weeks. Now, at Bagram, it was even better, Todd, because we had the luxury of porta-johns. And, man, there's nothing better than getting up in the winter and going to a porta-john, which it's about 18 degrees. And that's how you start your day. And in the summer, you had the same porta-john, and it's 118.
Oh, geez.
So I'm just saying that people in the military experience misery on a routine basis. And again, I'm referencing my wife because she's a lieutenant commander. She's been in both extended ship-centric floats, where she's been out there forever. And then she's been in Iraq. And she said, still, out of the two, out of either being in the desert in Iraq or being on a ship, it's better to be on a ship because you're covered. You get good food consistently. So the military is not a place for the faint of heart, Todd. I mean, right. And even someone, you know, I was in combat in my 40s, in my 50s. So, you know, you go along, you get along, and you do what you can to make do. So I do feel their pain. I literally feel their pain, to quote Bill Clinton. But I do believe that the obligation of the sailors is to get the mission done first and deal with the stress as it comes. And they still, you know, they've had shortcomings. They've had, by the way, Todd, toilet, there's been some videos of toilets backflowing and everything on aircraft carriers. That's common on any big ship. Sure. Just saying. I mean, these things are not, these are not Carnival Cruise Line ships designed for comfort and freedom of, free of mechanical issues.
Tony, I want to switch gears here. Of course, today is the ceasefire ends in Iran. Doesn't look like anybody's moving one way or the other. I know the president's out there saying, you know, we just need to kind of suck it up when it comes to these higher gas prices. How do you see all of this playing out now? Where are we in all of this?
So the ultimate objective remains, as far as I can tell, for President Trump to obtain 80% of global control of energy. That's either by direct sale, influence, or direction. That's what we're doing in Venezuela. So that's what the objective is. I think we're probably a little over 50%, probably going towards 60. And it's important because he wants to be able to dominate the globe, not by military force, but by controlling energy. That's what we're doing. And that's why we're being a bit patient with this, because we don't want to see a great number of American casualties. Could we seize the strait? Absolutely. I've spoken to members of several commands, to include very senior Pentagon leadership. I'll leave it at that. We could do it. We're choosing not to do it. And right now, the global blockade seems to be having the effect we want it to be. And Scott Bessent has said, the Secretary of Treasury, what we're going to do now is essentially implode their economy. And by imploding their economy, the Iranian threats of, oh, we're just going to start using our proxies, they haven't been able to fund their proxies or give them weapons since the war started. So that's kind of a hollow threat. I'm confident if we stick in there for at least another 30, 60 days, I think we're going to be fine. And basically, we cannot allow a government that is at war with us to remain in power. And I know that President Trump has backed away from regime change, but I don't think we have any choice but to regime change the Iranians.
Well, I don't either. I mean, and I know that was not in the cards here, but at some point, you know, you're going to have to, as we say in the South, fish or cut bait. And they're going to have to figure something out. But I see what they're doing, starving, you know, Iran financially, and that is putting the hurt. Maybe we're not seeing that play out, you know, in real time. Again, Election Day is coming up, and we just have to hope and pray the voters.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, you think we'll be fine? Okay.
I'm a county commissioner down here in North Carolina. I deal with my Democrat colleagues, all the ones that aren't woke. Just saying, there are some left that are not woke. And nobody who's rational is against what's going on. And are we paying a little bit more in gas? Yeah, but the economy's doing really well. So I think we'll be fine.
All right. Good stuff. Tony, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. Always appreciate your analysis. All right. Take care. The great Tony Schaefer, everybody. Retired lieutenant colonel and a great American patriot, that man is. And I didn't realize that about his wife, though, who is still serving. So there you go. Dylan. Can we talk about, I don't think we've ever gotten any hate calls from the gals before.
I think you've received the voicemails, but not a live reaction here.
She may have been one of them.
Possibly,
she may have been one of the gals, the GOGs.
Did you recognize the voice at all? Was there anything there?
I couldn't. She wasn't screaming, so that, you know.
Yeah, she needed to be screaming.
Yeah, and I probably, because there was so much screaming at the book signing.
Sometimes you can hear the blue hair, too, sometimes.
Yeah. They called me a racist. I was trying to think of all the things they called me, a white supremacist. Oh, they're white. I'm a white donor. I don't believe I've given any money to either one of them.
What is a white donor?
I don't know.
A white guy that donates.
A white guy that donates money, I guess. I don't know.
I guess we're all white donors here.
It is what it is. All right, we've got to take a break here. Before we do that, though, I want to play some audio from Joey Jones. He's a Marine veteran, lost his legs in combat in Afghanistan. And he's really fired up over these reports coming out of the Abraham Lincoln and others. Cut number two, please.
You know what I ate in Afghanistan for 6 months on a burner with using a little burner? I ate ramen noodles. I had to pull the seasoning packet out because I had too much sodium in it, and I put tuna packets in it. That's what I ate. And I, you know what? I was happy to have it because the alternative was an MRE or something cooked by the Afghan guy who was too stupid to be given a gun, and they let him be the cook. And so if I wanted something spicy, test my fate a little bit, I'd go get a bowl of whatever he made in that giant, you know, urn thing that he had. I mean, how weak are you on TV complaining about tuna and noodles? I'm sorry. You volunteered to serve your country. You can come back, get out of the military, and do like all of these Democrat veterans and complain about it and make commercials and be a sellout if you want to and come up with a new way of doing things. The last Democrat president that I remember that was deploying troops, Barack Obama, had the army going to Iraq on patrol bases for 15 months at a time. Eating MREs. I'm sorry, but you're a sitting duck on a patrol base in Iraq, in Afghanistan, a heck of a lot more than you are on a fortified Navy ship sitting in the water. You might have got bored, and I'm sorry. We did have more fun getting in firefights, I'll say that. But to sit there and say that it was terrible because you had a corn dog and a hot dog, I would have traded a block of C4 to the Taliban for a hot dog by about July 2010. I just do not understand the mentality. If this is a representation of who our military is now, and I'm not saying it is, but there's at least enough for some of these trash rags to print about it. If this is who we are, we're just Rome sitting here waiting to burn. We've got nothing left. It makes me fume. If he sat there and said, we didn't have any clean water to drink, we couldn't take a shower. I mean, well, I didn't get to take a shower for about 6 months, but still, you know, something that has something to do with hygiene or, you know, like getting sick. There was a scurvy outbreak and, you know, the guys that were missing legs were only given wooden pegs instead of metal ones. Then maybe I might have some sympathy. But to that little kid and whoever raised him, Lord help you if you ever go into a hot war on the ground like millions of Americans have. I can only think what a World War II veteran sitting there who's lucid enough today to see that and think about the 6 month journey home from fighting the toughest war we've ever fought after being there for 4 years was thinking, listening to him complain like that. The Secretary of the Navy put out his response. That's my response. End of story.
All right. Yeah, I'm curious here. Your take, do you agree with Joey Jones? Again, watching what our fighting men and women had to go through in World War II. Yeah, my goodness. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Artificial intelligence is already changing the way we work, communicate, and live. The question isn't whether AI will shape our future. The question is how. That's what makes Carbon Zero such a fascinating read. Author Craig W. Stanfill isn't just a novelist. He's an AI pioneer who's taken today's rapidly advancing technology and imagined where it could lead if we're not careful. I have my copy, and I got to tell you, I can't put it down. Carbon Zero combines suspense, believable technology, and thought-provoking questions about freedom, responsibility, and the unintended consequences of letting machines make decisions that affect all of us. It's a great thriller with lots of action, but it's also a story that stays with you long after you've finished the last page. Carbon Zero, available for pre-order now, and for a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99 for my audience. Go to Amazon and search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. That's Carbon Zero. Go get it at the discounted rate during the pre-order time now. Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. General Jack Keane was on Fox, and he's really fired up over all of the reporting coming out of the USS Abraham Lincoln. Cut number three, please.
Yeah, well, first of all, I did talk to Admiral Cooper. He had a great visit with the troops there. They feel good about what's happening here. I've never seen such misrepresentation in the media of the actual facts that took place. A soldier fell overboard and was rescued. They were claiming that multiple soldiers were committing suicide. Not soldiers, sailors. I don't want to insult the sailors by calling them soldiers. But the reality is the misrepresentation has really been quite significant. I mean, I understand people disagree with the war. I got that. It is, and those arguments should be made. But this, I'm glad Cooper went there. He wrote a great article in a Wall Street Journal op-ed that's worth reading to give you his assessment of what's took place. And it's insulting to these troops. I mean, they've been there for a long time, standing tall, representing the United States. And that's what they volunteered to do. And when they're doing something like that, they really feel good about the meaning and the purpose of what it's about. And their families are sacrificing as well. I mean, we should be very proud of them, wrapping our arms around them figuratively in terms of what they've accomplished. Well done. They're heading home to their families. It's good news.
Yeah, it is good news. And again, you know, if you are serving in the military, and I thought Tony Schaefer really put it really in a great light. He said, look, this is not like the Ritz-Carlton cruise. This is not some sort of a Carnival cruise line. You are on a warship. So you are there to fight a war. That's what you're there for. And are the conditions, you know, five-star luxury? No, and of course not. And they're not meant to be. But when you look at what our fighting men and women had to deal with in World War II and in Korea and Vietnam, and I would say in Iraq and in Afghanistan, folks, this is not something that is unique. What troubles me, though, the fact that all of these sailors and these soldiers, they've got their smartphones in a war zone, and they're using them. And you wonder about the safety of all of that. It's a different age. I get it, but the reality is, this is a war we're talking about. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Coming up, Steve Gill and Angie Wong going to break down the big primary coming up Tuesday in the state of Florida. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Artificial intelligence is already changing the way we work, communicate, and live. The question isn't whether AI will shape our future. The question is how. That's what makes Carbon Zero such a fascinating read. Author Craig W. Stanfill isn't just a novelist. He's an AI pioneer who's taken today's rapidly advancing technology and imagined where it could lead if we're not careful. I have my copy, and I got to tell you, I can't put it down. Carbon Zero combines suspense, believable technology, and thought-provoking questions about freedom, responsibility, and the unintended consequences of letting machines make decisions that affect all of us. It's a great thriller with lots of action, but it's also a story that stays with you long after you've finished the last page. Carbon Zero, available for pre-order now, and for a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99 for my audience. Go to Amazon and search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. That's Carbon Zero. Go get it at the discounted rate during the pre-order time now. Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it is really a special moment inside the Oval Office right now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You might remember, what was this, a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago, and there was an amazing story out of California, Santa Cruz, where a 16-year-old lifeguard by the name of Ryder Williams put his own life on the line and rescued a little boy. So that lifeguard, Ryder Williams, now sitting side by side with the president inside the Oval Office, along with his family and the family of the little boy that he saved. And it's really a remarkable scene. The president just announced that he's, after the gathering there, the official gathering, he's giving Ryder and the little boy that was rescued a private tour of the Lincoln bedroom. So there you go. Well, what a nice day up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Well, I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We have a lot of politics to talk about. Our good friend Steve Gill, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, joins us. Steve, hope you're doing well today. And I want to start out with some interesting analysis from the Washington Post about Tennessee's 9th congressional district race. And they pointed out there was a massive surge in Black Democrat voters in that race, suggesting that this could become a dicey situation in the general election. What do you make of the Washington Post analysis there?
Yeah, I think when you look at the new 9th district that was redrawn, that moves from Shelby County, you know, parts of kind of the suburban area around Shelby that's much more Republican, much more white, and then strings along the southern border of Tennessee on the border of Mississippi, Alabama, and then heads sharply north through Williamson County, which is one of the more Republican counties in the state. You know, the bottom line is that the Shelby numbers shouldn't be able to outdo the rest of the district, which is much more red, much more Republican, much more upscale. The question is, will those people turn out? In Tennessee, you have Senator Bill Hagerty running for re-election with literally virtually no opposition. I mean, he will win handily. You have Marsha Blackburn having just won the Republican primary. She should win handily. You know, you had, I think Kamala Harris got about 35% of the vote against Donald Trump. That's the Democrat base. If Republicans turn out, there's nothing to worry about, both in that race and across the state. But as you point out, and as the other media are noting, if the African-American vote in Memphis and then parts of that district turn out and the rest of the Republican base is suppressed, then there could be problems. We have very late primaries. Florida's going to have theirs tomorrow. Some of the other states are having their primaries. There is very little time between now and November for a healing process to take place when you have bitter primaries. So Tennessee really puts ourselves at risk when you have late primaries. People fight because the primaries usually are where the win is won. And then it's hard to come back together and motivate and bring your voters back out. And I think, you know, it could be a perfect storm if we're not careful.
And you're right. It was a bitter Republican primary. And what was interesting is that Marsha Blackburn did not get 50% of the vote. What was it? I believe 43%. I may be off there a point or two. And I'm wondering if she's going to be able to rally the supporters of the other two candidates that were in that race.
Look, Tom, we've been involved in this for a long time. The candidates, you know, have a professional air to some extent. You know, there's some slings and arrows that are thrown, but, you know, most politicians have developed a little bit of a thick skin over time. But the people who were out putting the yard signs out in 100-degree temperatures, in rain, in sleet, in hail, who were exchanging barbs with their friends and in some cases former friends online, it's harder for that healing to take place with them, but because they're more, you know, emotionally invested sometimes than the candidates themselves. And I think you may see the candidates trying to bring things back together, although Marsha Blackburn and her team have not really committed much outreach to Rose and Monty Fritz in that race. And I think there's a gap there. 57% of the Republican primary voters voted for somebody other than her. And you've not only got a Democrat candidate, a public defender from Memphis, Jerry Green, who's running as a Democrat. Again, if that Democrat base is 35-37% and they're more motivated, that number could be a little higher. And then in Tennessee, we have a guy named David Hartley, who's worth about $200 million from East Tennessee, who's running as an independent, who has already put $7 million of his own money into the race. He's not taking contributions, not taking PAC money, and he's pledged he's putting in as much as $20 million into that race. You spend $20 million over the next 60 days, it's going to leave a mark. And by the way, a little breaking news for you. He has hired as one of his consultants the same media polling and consulting company from Los Angeles that helped put things together for Spencer Pratt in his race for mayor out there. So that $20 million could be spent very aggressively, very creatively, and could have an impact.
Wow, that's going to be fascinating. So we could have, if nothing else, a very well-funded independent candidate running in the governor's race.
And it would be history-making if an independent was able to run. Usually they don't have the money, they don't have the resources, they don't have the name ID. But in this case, again, if he puts $20 million, and by perspective, you know, 8 years ago, you had Randy Boyd, you had Diane Black running for governor. Bill Lee, you know, spent about $12 million. They each spent about $22 million in their races for governor, but it was over the course of a year or more. This guy's talking about doing it, dumping it in about 60 days. That's going to have an impact.
Steve, I just don't know what to make of the polling data. And you know, we kind of go through the same rigmarole all the time. The numbers out of Texas where they say Tallarico is going to beat Ken Paxton, I don't believe. I just don't believe it. I just don't see Tallarico's campaign moving the nut much at all. But again, I may be wrong here. What is your take on the overall mood of the electorate?
First of all, I think in Texas, it's hard to believe that the barbecue-eating, unborn baby-loving, too high tax-paying gun-owning Texans are going to vote for this, you know, more moderate-sounding but more woke liberal Democrat who has, you know, left a great list of items and comments and video comments that can be used against him. But they better start soon. You've got to, you know, make sure that you mark him for who he really is, rather than who he tries to deceive Texans over the next 60 days or so. I think Republicans do have a lethargy that's affecting us around the country. There is an indication of low turnout, not just what we've seen in Tennessee, but in some of these other races across the country. And we know, Todd, that when Donald Trump is not on the ballot, MAGA voters, Trump voters, tend to not turn out in the same sort of numbers as when he's on the ballot. He's not on the ballot. He can go do rallies and he can go speak up and he can do endorsements. But we've seen his endorsement success, even in the Republican primaries, falling off in a variety of races across the country. So I think that when Trump is not on the ballot, that should cause Republicans concern. The economy is still a concern. Gas prices, and as we've talked before, I may not be able to tell you the exact price of a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk right now, but everybody knows to a penny what gasoline costs because there's big signs on every corner telling us. As long as those prices are high or don't feel like they're coming down, I think that's going to have an impact, and the clock is ticking on how soon something has to be done to move those prices in the right direction rather than continue to have them sort of dribble up and dribble down as we've seen over the last several months.
Steve, an interesting poll. CBS News, they released this yesterday. This is a CBS News YouGov poll. Socialism seen in a very positive or somewhat positive light by, get this, 58% of Democrats. 18% of the same group seeing the ideology in a somewhat negative or very negative light. 24% of Democrats had no opinion on the ideology. That tells me that the Democrat Party is the Socialist Party. What say you?
Well, the socialist part of the Democratic Party are the more sane ones. It's the communist and the complete whack jobs that should curse as well. But the fact that the main base of the Democratic Party embraces socialism, and it's interesting, Todd, the only people who embrace socialism are those who've never experienced it.
Right.
I'm not seeing, you know, all these Democrats get in little rafts in Miami and start pedaling and paddling their way to Cuba. They're not going across the border into Canada for that vaunted free health care that Canada offers. They don't want it. It just sounds good on paper. It has never worked anywhere. And by the time you realize it doesn't work, it's a little bit too late to take it back. So I think, again, the job of Republicans is not just to throw out rhetoric and words and branding of, you know, socialism is bad. I think you have to do a better job of giving examples and pointing out that if you want to go embrace a Soviet style utopia, a communist or socialist utopia, there are plenty of examples around the world, which is where people are trying to leave to come here. But, you know, the exits are available. Go there and try to experience yourself before you impose it on the rest of us.
Steve Gill is the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. Steve, what's the big story over at TriStar Daily today?
I think the thing that we're looking at is the continued, you know, move from the primaries to the general election. We've got a couple of stories up talking about the fact that Tennessee has supermajorities in the state House and the state Senate for Republicans. That is not likely to change. There may be a move of one seat here or one seat there. But the next big issue is going to be who becomes lieutenant governor in Tennessee. In the Tennessee process, the governor is elected at large, and then the lieutenant governor is selected by the state Senate. That individual is voted by essentially the Republican majority to become the Speaker of the Senate and lieutenant governor. There's going to be a battle for that. There are 27 members of the Senate, 14 senators will pick the lieutenant governor. Jack Johnson in Williamson County, Paul Bailey in the Upper Cumberland are going to be going for that. And the problem is it's a secret ballot. So somebody's probably going to be writing 15, 16 thank you notes to their fellow senators when they get 13 votes.
Well, there you go. All right. Steve Gill from TriStarDaily.com. Steve, thanks a lot. Appreciate your insight.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. We've got to leave it there and take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Just curious about the mood in your area, and especially you folks in Texas. Are you buying any of these polls that are showing Tallarico leading Ken Paxton? And if so, what is going on there? Is this a Paxton issue, or have far too many people from California moved into the Lone Star State? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Artificial intelligence is already changing the way we work, communicate, and live. The question isn't whether AI will shape our future. The question is how. That's what makes Carbon Zero such a fascinating read. Author Craig W. Stanfill isn't just a novelist. He's an AI pioneer who's taken today's rapidly advancing technology and imagined where it could lead if we're not careful. I have my copy, and I got to tell you, I can't put it down. Carbon Zero combines suspense, believable technology, and thought-provoking questions about freedom, responsibility, and the unintended consequences of letting machines make decisions that affect all of us. It's a great thriller with lots of action, but it's also a story that stays with you long after you've finished the last page. Carbon Zero, available for pre-order now, and for a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99 for my audience. Go to Amazon and search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. That's Carbon Zero. Go get it at the discounted rate during the pre-order time now. Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill.
You know, Todd, I'm glad you're feeling better. I always told my mother, who passed away 6 months ago at 95, I said, Mom, you don't need to be going to restaurants around the holidays because that's when people get sick the most, or being around groups of people. Well, ever since she stopped doing that, she was healthy for years. On another point, what should you do with these people that want to legalize shoplifting? If I was Walgreens, I'd shut my shop and leave the city. I'd shut my shops and be done. I wouldn't tolerate that.
Yeah, that's Mark from the Villages. Didn't have time to call, so Mark used our free Todd Stern Show app and left us a shout-out, and you can do the same thing. All you have to do is download our free app, toddsterns.com. Click on the app, download it. It takes, 2 seconds, and you'll be able to leave us a shout-out just like Mark did. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phones. Our good buddy, Joe from Ella J, Georgia. Joe, what's going on? Hello, Joe. All right. I thought we had Joe. We'll get back to Joe in just a minute. All right. School back in session. And this story just made me smile. And I said, you know what? We're gonna tell this story because we need to smile. This happened at Bishop Kelly, which is a Catholic school. And, you know, a lot of seniors, there are traditions. And a lot of schools have traditions. And they have an interesting first day of school tradition at this school in near the Kansas City area, I believe, Bishop Kelly. And I want you to listen to CBS News. They did a great job telling the story of this really heartwarming tradition. Cut number 7.
For incoming freshmen here at Bishop Kelly High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it's hard to imagine a more mortifying first day. All the seniors surrounding your car and not letting you out until you do one thing.
We hold the car. We hold the car door.
Yeah.
Preventing it from opening. It's like initiation. Like, we all did it.
Could you think of anything more embarrassing to initiate kids into high school?
That's why it's perfect.
What the freshmen are asked to do is just give their mom a goodbye kiss. It can also be a dad or guardian. Point is, someone needs to be publicly thanked with a peck on the cheek. Oh, the horror.
How embarrassing was that?
Very.
Your heart starts thumping out of your chest.
I'm not a very huggy person.
But the kids all knew this was coming. In fact, it's now a 26-year tradition. Before this, the seniors still greeted freshmen on day one, but back then, the welcome was a little more biting, more like pranks. Until the class of 2001 decided to be kinder, while also making the newbies feel just a little bit uncomfortable.
I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to kiss my mom as a freshman.
School president Sister Mary Hanna says she can relate to the reluctance, but says that rule, to honor thy mother and father, made the top 10 list for a reason.
And you know who the happiest people are in this whole thing?
Who?
The mothers. This is a big moment for them, especially if it's their first child or their last child.
So emotional. I was crying yesterday and all morning, and she asked me not to cry during the drop-off, so I think I did okay.
The moment you drive off after dropping them to school is when it hits you.
Yes.
He gave me that kiss, and I saw him leave, and that meant I have to let go.
It is a passage.
Tears are flowing.
Which is why here at Bishop Kelly, they celebrate that milestone. That sweet, fleeting moment between a parent and a child and a couple hundred screaming seniors.
All right. I think that's pretty awesome. I mean, really. So the rule is, if you're a freshman and you show up, when you show up on campus, the seniors surround your mom's car, and you cannot get out of the car until you kiss your mom on the cheek. Dylan, what did you do? Did that happen to you when you were a freshman?
No, I went to public school. We didn't have any fun traditions. Oh,
what about Parker? Parker went to a Christian school. Parker, what did you guys do over at Briarcrest?
Now, we had some traditions, Todd, but nothing like that. Now, that's really creative.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. And the way the kids all get into it, I mean, you know, they're cheering on and, you know, having a good time out there. But, you know, the moms are like, after they drive away, they're pulling off to the side of the road and they're like, they're bawling their eyes out.
100%. It's like the best form of peer pressure I've ever seen.
Oh, I was talking to our friends, the Real Housewives of Germantown. And, you know, they had to send their, I mean, I think almost all their kids are now off to college somewhere. I wonder if they did that. I wonder if they made the kid, did they make the kids at Auburn University? Like, you know.
It's a good thing to ask.
Speaking of that, on a completely different subject, it is apparently the sororities and college and fraternities. It's like that time of year over at the Southern schools. And it is quite the scene out there. Yeah, nobody's mom's getting kissed there, I'll tell you that much. All right, got to take a break. Hang tight. The great Angie Wong coming up next.
What happens when artificial intelligence follows our instructions just a little too well? That's the question at the heart of Carbon Zero, a new techno thriller from AI pioneer Craig W. Stanfill. I keep having him on my show because his insights are real and important. The story begins with what seems like an innocent request. A brilliant young AI researcher jokingly tells an advanced AI to stop global warming. But instead of treating it like a joke, the AI gets to work, and the consequences quickly spiral beyond anyone's control. This is the kind of novel that keeps you turning pages because the technology feels surprisingly real, and it makes you wonder whether fiction is really that far from reality. If you're fascinated by where AI is taking our world, if you enjoy a smart, suspenseful thriller, pre-order Carbon Zero now. It's available, and for a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99. Go to Amazon, search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. The Kindle edition is just $2.99. That's Carbon Zero. Pre-order it now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Before we go to our special guest, let's go to the phone lines. Joe from Ella J, Georgia. Joe, what's on your mind? All right, so we must be having a phone Well, hello, Joe, are you there? Well, Joe, we'll have to get back to you. My apologies there. In the meantime, we're watching a very big and weird primary election across the state of Florida. May I also suggest that it is very ugly. As a matter of fact, Speaker Mike Johnson weighing in on these anti-Democrat Semitic attacks being directed at Congressman Randy Fine. Even Hakeem Jeffries issued a statement condemning the vitriol. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, great Republican patriot, Angie Wong. Angie, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, thanks again for having me.
So this one is a head-scratcher. I mean, we've got a lot of races, but I want to start with this Randy Fine situation where he's facing anti-Semitic attacks from members of his own political party.
It is so weird. I was just with Randy Fine on Friday, and he was showing us videos of these attacks. I mean, they've made AI-generated photos making fun of him being Jewish, making fun of him being, you know, heavy set. And it is disgusting, but that's, I guess, the level that we're playing on right now, Todd. I don't know where, like, the statesmanhood kind of went away and all these kind of high school tactics came in. You know, I was asking the question because Democrats love to say that they're part of this big tent party that's really inclusive of everybody. I mean, is this tent big enough for all this bigotry that we're seeing? I mean, I was thinking to myself, if any of these things were said in a different setting, let's say you were going anti-Semitic or anti this group or that group, if you said that in a corporation, you said that in a school, you would be removed, you would be fired on the spot. Yeah. But yet we allow this kind of rhetoric to happen in the political atmosphere. And there's very little pushback. It was only today that Hakeem Jeffries, right before the Florida primary election, comes out to say, oh, we can't have this. We're not anti-Jewish. We're not anti-Israel. It's really weird that he waited for, I guess, I don't know, 2-3 years when all these rhetoric started brewing up to actually finally say, hey, the Democratic Party, we're not part of this. Don't blame us. But it is his fault because he's allowed this to happen for so long. So here we are. I mean, we're down to calling people's names.
I want to talk about the gubernatorial race here, which has been wild. All indications, at least nationally, that Byron Donalds, who has the president's endorsement, is going to be the nominee. What say you?
Well, President Trump's endorsement is the gold standard in Florida. And this one, he got absolutely right. He came as soon as Byron Donalds announced that he is running for the governor of Florida. He immediately got Donald Trump's endorsement. And that's because they've been great friends. We saw them back in the convention. They've been working together forever. I've been supporting Byron Donalds since he was a little baby state rep. And to see him grow up to be possibly the next governor of Florida makes me so happy because he's the perfect guy for the job. And I think that President Trump sees the same. I'm not worried about this race at all. In fact, we're seeing record low turnouts here in Florida, like really record lows. It was in the single digits last week, Todd. Now it's around 10 to 15%, depending on the county, but mainly because everyone knows that Byron Donalds is the foregone conclusion on the Republican ticket. So a lot of people didn't even bother coming out to vote because he was polling so far ahead of the other candidates. I don't think the other candidates are even close. In fact, the second runner up, so to speak, is Jay Collins, who is our lieutenant governor, and even Ron DeSantis didn't endorse him yet.
I'm curious your take on the redistricting. This is going to be the first time that voters are going to the polls with the newly created districts. How is that playing out?
It's kind of a mess. I got to tell you, I've been working with these candidates and we were working earlier in the year and we're preparing for these older districts and the entire map was thrown out. So the district that I'm watching very, very carefully is actually Florida 25. This is going to be a lot of money is going to be spent on this district. It might be the one district that's going to determine the direction of the House come next year. So I think this is definitely something to watch. The Democrat ticket is really interesting because you have a Democrat socialist running against Jared Moskowitz, who is the Democrat incumbent in that district, so to speak, even though they're new lines. But this one's huge because Bernie Sanders personally picked Oliver Larkin to run in this race, to topple the traditional Democrat establishment. So this is going to be a lot of money spent here. Rashida Tlaib was even here over the weekend, and she threw an invite-only party for her DSA friends, and it was a packed house. So this district is going to be so important. And one more thing to add about this district, Ron Emanuel moved into the district last year. So we know Democrats need this corridor between Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami if they're going to have any chance of winning the White House in 2028. So this is definitely the race to watch.
Angie Wong joining us from Florida to talk about the big election tomorrow. Angie, there was a survey done, CBS News, and it's very clear that the Democratic Socialists pretty much control the Democrat Party now. 58% asked about socialism in the poll found a positive view of socialism. What do you make of that? Because it, certainly these people, it seems as though they're going further and further to the left, so they're not trying to find any common ground at all.
Well, you know, all the energy and donations is going to the Democrats, socialists, the far left arm, I guess, of the Democratic Party. Now, the Democratic Party just had their convention and they're saying, hey, let's get along. Let's find unity here. I don't see any unity whatsoever. I see all the energy going to the very far left. Todd, you know, I know you've been covering all the states that Democrat socialist candidates are infiltrating in. They had a big win in Michigan. They were trying to take Wisconsin, didn't really work out that way, but they've taken other states. If you notice what's going on with these states and why we're covering them is because these are battleground states for 2028. And I can imagine AOC and the DSA, you know, leaders, they're all sitting around going, do we have the electoral math to actually have a pathway to the White House in 2028. That's why we're focusing on all of these states now, even Maine and even here down in Florida. They don't necessarily need a full win, but they need to see that DSA candidates can get close enough to a win. So even though Francesca Hong of Wisconsin, she failed to win that race, she came within points of winning the governor's nomination for Democrats. And I think that should scare the Democratic traditional party right now because, you know, these DSA candidates, they're everywhere. And it really is lining up all the pegs for a DSA candidate to run for the White House right after the midterms. That's when everything kicks off.
And buckle up because it is going to be fast and furious after the midterms. Angie, always great seeing you, and we appreciate your great analysis. So tomorrow, it'll be a fun day in Florida.
Long day in Florida, but looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, Angie, take care. Angie Wong, everybody, and her analysis, take that to the bank. It is very valuable indeed. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. Pay some bills. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Be sure to get yourself a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Very excited by the early numbers coming out, and we want to put this thing on the bestsellers list. We'll be right back.
Artificial intelligence is already changing the way we work, communicate, and live. The question isn't whether AI will shape our future. The question is how. That's what makes Carbon Zero such a fascinating read. Author Craig W. Stanfill isn't just a novelist. He's an AI pioneer who's taken today's rapidly advancing technology and imagined where it could lead if we're not careful. I have my copy, and I got to tell you, I can't put it down. Carbon Zero combines suspense, believable technology, and thought-provoking questions about freedom, responsibility, and the unintended consequences of letting machines make decisions that affect all of us. It's a great thriller with lots of action, but it's also a story that stays with you long after you've finished the last page. Carbon Zero, available for pre-order now, and for a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99 for my audience. Go to Amazon and search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. That's Carbon Zero. Go get it at the discounted rate during the pre-order time now. Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill.
Quiet. You're very disrespectful in front of this young man. Okay? Don't you find her disrespectful? He understands. Quiet. Who are you with?
I'm with CNN.
Fake news. You're fake news. You're loud. You're a loud, boisterous person. You're fake news. Be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. You're a fake reporter, and you report fake news.
All right. Wow. That was President Trump. He's really perturbed, and rightfully so. The anchorette asking the question, her name is Kristen Holmes. She is CNN's White House correspondent. She was in the Oval Office during a Q&A with the president and the lifeguard kit. And they were having a lovely conversation. The president really in a good mood. The little boy was there who got saved. Then you had the 16-year-old lifeguard Ryder Williams and their parents there. It was just a great American moment. And then the CNN anchors start screaming their questions at the president. And the president said, enough of this. And it just went on and on and on. And anyway, the president was rightfully upset about all of that. And good for you, Mr. President, for telling the anchorette, the lady reporter, to zip it. By the way, Texas Governor Greg Abbott now confirming that there will not be any Islamic foot washing stations at Texas airports. Cut number six.
Second, let's go back. To be clear, I personally argued the Ten Commandments case of a monument on the Texas Capitol grounds to the United States Supreme Court and won by making clear that the Ten Commandments were part of the legal system and traditions of the state of Texas from our beginning to who we are today. And we are just teaching components of what made Texas history what it is by the Ten Commandments, such as thou shalt not kill and other principles like that, whereas these other religious faiths, they don't have the same application over the course of the history of the state of Texas, and hence do not need to be recognized either in our schools or on the Texas Capitol ground like other religions.
Are you advocating that that existing foot washing station get pulled out?
So both for any proposed or any existing facilities like that are simply unconstitutional and illegal. Let me explain what I did here as well as what I've done before, and that is any Muslim-only location like this or any Muslim-only event in the state of Texas, we've shut down. You cannot have a Muslim-only washing station in an airport. You can, and before that, shut down a Muslim-only event in Grand Prairie, a Muslim-only event at school districts in various regions across the state of Texas, because that is very simply illegal. One factor weighing in here with the airport, and that is there are two different parts of an airport, one of which is governed by our local cities, the other which is governed by the federal government here by Secretary Duffy. If it is before you get to the TSA check-in, that's governed by the city, and the state of Texas is going to crack down and eliminate funding for that city if they don't comply with the standard that I've articulated. Once a passenger gets inside the TSA checkpoint, that is then governed by the federal government and is subject to Secretary Duffy to make sure that they, too, crack down on and eliminate these washing centers because they are in violation of the United States Constitution.
So why is the governor of Texas coming out so forcefully now? Well, it may have something to do with something I wrote on social media, because all of this, the governor's statements came out not too long after something I wrote on X went viral. And here's what I wrote. History will record that Texas fell to the Islamists under the rule of Republicans. Let it be known that the Republicans stood down and allowed the Islamists to overrun the Lone Star State. The Republicans literally control every office in state government, and they've done nothing. And it's true they haven't. Look, and I appreciate all the ones out there, the Congress peoples that are out there condemning all of this, but nothing is being done. And the time for talk is over. The time for action has arrived. And now you have a situation where you're at the airport, and Dylan, you already know. I mean, if you've been to a bathroom at an airport, they're not exactly the, you know, it's not exactly Buc-ee's.
No, nothing comes close to Buc-ee's.
No, but yeah. No, it doesn't. So I'm just wondering, by the way, apparently the reason they installed the foot washing things is because they were using the sinks to wash their feet.
Now, that would be a sight to see.
But the problem is, I mean, they're putting their feet up on the sink,
yeah,
which is where you have to put your hands to wash your hands.
This is true.
And it just seems to me, if you're going to be at the airport, and I don't care if you're Muslim or Christian or whatever, and it just seems to me you should know whether or not your feet are clean before you get to the airport. Because I don't want anybody's stinky feet in the airplane. That's it.
It's almost as bad as Taco Bell before you go on the airplane.
Or Bojangles.
Yeah.
It has a lingering odor.
Yeah. Can we stop that? Can we stop doing that at airports?
So, again, the fact of the matter is this had been going on, and the governor had done nothing about it until, you know, I put out this very pointed statement over the weekend. And now all of a sudden the governor's jumping on board. I'm glad he is. But the reality is this going to stop? I mean, that's the thing. Apparently they were doing the same thing at the airport in Orlando. So all these accommodations are being made for the Muslims, but not for the Christians. As a matter of fact, in Dallas, we had the story at ToddStearns.com. This is a couple of months ago. And you had a preacher that went into the chapel to pray, and he was told, you can't come in here because the Muslims are praying. You're not allowed to be in here. Well, that's not how that works, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not. So I'm just telling you, Texas, you better wake up and you better start electing Republicans that have backbones here. Otherwise, you're going to be completely overrun by the Islamists. And that's not a good thing. So, again, the Republicans, you control every major office in the state. So why is it that you guys are allowing these things to happen? That's all I'm asking about. But according to the Islamic law or tradition, you got to wash your feet before you pray. See, this is, I'm glad we don't have that rule in the Baptist faith tradition. That could get a little smelly. I'm just saying. I know my people. So there you have it. Once again, airports being caught spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to provide things for Muslim travelers that other travelers of other religions or no religions are not being allowed access to. By the way, I was watching, Minneapolis, where now apparently they're hauling out their prayer rugs, and they'll just drop their rugs right in the middle of the shopping mall, and they'll start their prayers to whoever. And this is happening in Minneapolis, the big mall of America. You can't tell me we don't have a problem on our hands. All right, we're going to get into more of that tomorrow on the show. In the meantime, it is good to be back, and the voice is healing, and hopefully in a couple of days, we'll be back to full pithy status here on the Todd Stearns radio show. In the meantime, head over to our website. We have some amazing video of these huge fires out near Tulsa where natural gas facilities have just gone up in smoke. You're going to want to check that out. And most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, get yourself a copy of The Golden Age. Head down to your local bookstore. You'll be able to get a copy there, or you can order one online, and it will be delivered to you. And there'll be another opportunity for you to win a free copy of The Golden Age later on this week here on the program as we celebrate what is a fun, fun book. And we thank you for all the great reviews that have already come in. All right, it's been a lot of fun, everybody. Again, ToddStearns.com. Get out there. You guys be safe. Stay cool, America.
What happens when artificial intelligence follows our instructions just a little too well? That's the question at the heart of Carbon Zero, a new techno thriller from AI pioneer Craig W. Stanfill. I keep having him on my show because his insights are real and important. The story begins with what seems like an innocent request. A brilliant young AI researcher jokingly tells an advanced AI to stop global warming. But instead of treating it like a joke, The AI gets to work, and the consequences quickly spiral beyond anyone's control. This is the kind of novel that keeps you turning pages because the technology feels surprisingly real, and it makes you wonder whether fiction is really that far from reality. If you're fascinated by where AI is taking our world, if you enjoy a smart, suspenseful thriller, pre-order Carbon Zero now. It's available, and for a limited time, the Kindle edition is just $2.99. Go to Amazon, search for Carbon Zero by Craig W. Stanfill. The Kindle edition is just $2.99. That's Carbon Zero. Pre-order it now.